Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Recent news events. The Sadat visit to Jerusalem and Israelis meeting in Cairo give the impression that peace may be on the way after 30 years of war and hostility in the Middle East. An Israeli newspaper journalist comments on the prospect of peace. He notes Israelis have lived always with war. There are people in this country who don't know what peace is. They came out of concentration camps and straight into the furnace of Middle East war. The prospect of peace, he noted, is like the coming of the Messiah. Well, what lies ahead? Will there come a treaty of peace between Israel and her Arab neighbors? Will the treaty of peace include other nations as well? Dr. John Walvoord, president of Dallas Theological Seminary, comments.
Well, my understanding is that the Bible predicts that there will be a peace treaty between a leader in the Middle East and Israel. I question a little bit whether Sadat is that leader. According to the scriptures, I personally believe in a revival of the ancient Roman Empire, according to Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, and a 10-nation group will be formed, and this man will apparently head up this 10-nation group, and he will make a peace treaty with Israel. That's the biblical peace treaty, which is scheduled for 7 years duration, and it's broken after 3.5 years. Now, there may be a series of peace treaties before that the Bible does not speak of. But it's obvious that we're moving into a period where a peace treaty with Israel becomes imperative. To me, this is an evidence that we're moving on to the end of the age, because that's what the Bible predicts for the end of the age.
Well, the Reverend Arthur Petrie, prophetic scholar, writes that Israel is the key to world peace. He notes that man's attempt in the past to find peace have met with failure because it has sought peace by man's efforts. Petrie writes, "The Bible teaches clearly and emphatically that Israel is the key to world peace. It teaches that humanity without Israel can neither achieve nor maintain the peace that it wants." Now we know at the time of the end there's one coming upon the world scene who will claim to have all the answers. He will appear as a savior of peace to the world and as a messiah to Israel. He will appear in the role of the world's Superman. But in reality, he will be Satan's puppet, the one we call the Antichrist. The chief rabbi of Denmark once remarked, "Whether Messiah is a person or an assembly is of minor importance." He went on to say, "I believe messianic times would come if the United Nations were made Messiah." However, the United Nations has all but rejected the nation of Israel. We've been reporting on a recent decision wherein the United Nations General Assembly voted 131-1 to censor Israel for establishing Jewish settlements in occupied Arab territories. The resolution declared the action of Israel to be illegal and a threat to Middle East peace. The verdict of history has been that world peace cannot come through the efforts of humanity. Nations and governments have tried and failed to find peace. In the year 1899, an international peace conference was held at The Hague. The object was to be the establishment of a permanent peace. In the year 1904, the United States initiated a call for a second Hague peace conference. Again in 1907, upon the invitation of the Tsar of Russia, another meeting of some 21 European states, along with American countries and 4 Asiatic nations, met for the purpose of Pacific Settlement of International Disputes. The Andrew Carnegie Endowment for International Peace gave $10 million toward its establishment. Then we remember the attempt at the formation of the League of Nations in 1918. At the suggestion of President Woodrow Wilson, it was to be an alliance for the preservation of peace among nations, a worldwide union of great and small countries designed as an international agency which should make future wars impossible and develop a spirit of peaceful cooperation between nations. When the United States entered the war of 1914-1918, it was for the purpose of bringing peace and safety to all nations, making the world itself at last free. Later, on August 27, 1928, 15 nations met in Paris and signed a pact renouncing war. The Kellogg-Briand Pact declared, quote, "The high contracting parties agree that the settlement or solution of all disputes or conflicts of whatever nature or of whatever origin they may be, which may arise among them, should never be sought except by pacific means." The pact was described as potentially the biggest event in modern diplomatic history. However, it failed. The peace pact was shattered by the Second World War. Again, an attempt was made to create an official August body that would enforce peace by international law. After World War II, the United Nations Charter was created in San Francisco. This is the same United Nations that recently censored Israel for seeking to fulfill the role ordained when he told Abraham, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant. Be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." Genesis 17:7-8. Later in the book of Genesis, you'll find a prophecy that speaks of world peace that will come through a person whose name is Shiloh, which is a messianic title meaning the peace bringer or the peacemaker. In Genesis 49:10 we read, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now the meaning of this prophecy is this: a king shall arise out of the tribe of Judah, son of Israel, and his rule over all the tribes of Israel shall be widened unto the peaceful government of the world. It adds up to this, says Dr. Petrie, world peace through Israel. Now the prophet Amos speaks of a time coming when out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. My friends, this has never happened. Isaiah goes on to describe the role of the coming Messiah, whose reign will be worldwide, saying, "He will judge between the nations. He will decide concerning many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Now, if you've been to the United Nations headquarters in New York City, you may have seen those words emblazoned upon the walls. But peace will not come until the world accepts and receives him who is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and recognizes Israel as God's ordained means to accomplish peace on earth. Now what about those Arab nations that are resisting attempts at making peace with Israel? Wim Malgo, editor of the Midnight Call magazine, says that if the Russians, the Arabs, and all other anti-Semite nations would awaken from their madness, they would realize they are not fighting Israel, they're actually fighting the living God. How many passages of Scripture might be given to indicate that it is God's will and purpose to glorify his name through the reestablishment of Israel? The present time Israel is not the testimony she should be. There's coming a day, my friends, when God will glorify his holy name, and he'll do it through the nation of Israel. As we read in Ezekiel 36:22, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake." Thus God's purpose in using Israel is to glorify his name. During one of Prime Minister Begin's trips to the United States, he gave President Carter a document demonstrating Israel's contributions to America's national security over the years. When asked whether Israel was a liability or an asset, Major George Keegan, former head of U.S. Air Force Intelligence, replied, "I can say without reservation that for every dollar of support which this country has given Israel, we've gotten $1,000 worth of benefits in return, which are incalculable in their benefits to the U.S. armed services." Kagan went on to enumerate these benefits. Access to equipment, access to documents, access to information that better educates us and prepares us to cope with Soviet forces and Soviet equipment around the world. The data is of incalculable value, he noted. We get a lot in return for what we have invested. But the future of Israel will be even greater when he who is the Prince of Peace returns to reign in righteousness. He will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When President Woodrow Wilson was in Europe trying for world peace through the League of Nations, he was greeted with banners saying, "Hail the Crusader for Humanity! Welcome to the God of Peace!" But Wilson saw only disappointment in his plans for world peace. For peace is possible only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why man's attempts at finding peace today are doomed to failure. For Almighty God is not recognized among the nations that today honor the God of forces. As the psalmist declares, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And this is what we see happening today. What is the result? We read, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Then what will happen? We read, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure." And so whatever peace agreement may be reached will be short-lived. And ahead for the world is wrath, trouble, sorrow, because man fails to honor God, to accept the rule and authority of Jesus Christ. And thus our message is to warn men everywhere to flee the wrath to come, to turn to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, my friends, is still a day of salvation for men and nations. To all who are listening, God would say, repent, turn from sin to trust the Savior without delay. Jesus is coming. He's coming for those who are ready. Are you ready, my friend? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Are you living for him in loving obedience to his will? Have you repented of every sin? Or is there lust in your life, some act of willful disobedience, some sin, so that you know if Jesus were to return right now, you would not be ready to meet him? And signs around us would lead us to believe the hour is coming, the hour is near, for our Lord to return. And if you're looking for him, you will be ready. For we read, "He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." And so turn to the Lord with all your heart. Find forgiveness at his cross. Find victory through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who will lead you and keep you until the day of Christ's coming. Indeed, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.